snowing, snowing. The wind is blowing, but I can't without the storm. Oh, what do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a worse December. Just watch those eyes, it goes fall. Oh, what do I care if icicles fall? Oh, I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat, off with my gloves. Who needs an overcoat when you're burning with love? My heart's on fire, the flames grow higher, but I came with a storm. Oh, what do I care how much it may storm? Baby, I've got my love, you keep me warm.
That's the case for you. That is Sunday and Mr. Gussel. Not quite sure how to say it, but I sure like his guitar work. And they are going to be at the Sou'wester on Friday, a week from today, but it's in the from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. So by the time I'm on the air, they'll be off the stage. So I wanted to let you hear a little bit of them. And then the next day, they'll be at the Pickled Fish at the Adrift at 9 p.m. on Saturday. And I should mention the reason they're going to be at the Sou'wester is because they are celebrating their, let me see if I can say this, quasquicentennial. It's their 125th birthday of the Sou'wester. So they're going to be having entertainment all the time. Sunday and Mr. Gussel have been voted the best jazz act of 2017 by the Seattle Weekly. So catch them if you can. Or if you like them, ask somebody to bring them back. We are very, very fortunate here with all the good music. And by the way, before I get into the rest of the show, I do want to mention, and you've been hearing a lot about it, but it is so important. The Astoria Warming Center is still short one volunteer for the late shift to open tonight. And they're also short for Saturday, Sunday, Christmas Eve, and Monday. If you have not volunteered and would like to help, email Astoria warmingcenter@gmail.com. Current approved volunteers can go to signup.com. And it's a couple of hours shift, sometimes in the middle of the night. That works for some people. And it's crucial. And it's exciting that we've been able to get that warming center up and going in the last few years. So let's be sure to keep it up. And all of us play our part. Again, AstoriaWarmingCenter@gmail.com. And they're pretty good about getting back to people. Okay. Now, my first guests, and they're here. You may recognize them. I think perhaps they've been on the air a lot, especially recently. I think, Charlene, is this your third week in a row or something?
I believe so, yes. This is my regular Friday afternoon gig.
Good. I'm glad you have it on your calendar. Well, that's because you wear so many hats. What can I do? What can I do? So Charlene Larson is here. And the other person whom you've heard many times is Jennifer Crockett. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, how are you?
And last time she surprised me because I thought she was here as the executive director of the Liberty, which is one of the big hats she wears. But when I said, and what's your role? It turned out she was actually playing with the North Coast Symphonic Band.
Yep.
And I might add that Charlene also plays with the North Coast Symphonic Band. As I say, it's a wonderful
town.
Yeah, it's a small town, and it's a generous and open-hearted town. So people do reach out, and then others kind of grab them and bring them in. Today they're here, though, because there is some exciting news about the Friday Musical Club, which most of us don't, well, I do now, but I didn't know what that is, and the collaboration with the Liberty Theater. So who wants to tell us now? Charlene, are you part of the Friday Musical Club?
I am, Carol.
Okay.
Yes.
I've been a
member since probably about 2009, but the Friday Musical Club goes back to its formation date of 1907.
Holy cow.
And the first meetings were held in the music room of the Flavel House. So the Flavel sisters were the early members of the Friday Musical Club.
Is that when you say the Flavel House, you mean where the museum is
the
now?
The museum, yes.
Oh, my goodness.
That's, you know, that's run by Clatsop County Historical Society.
Right.
So that goes back to 1907, and when I joined, we had an opportunity to celebrate our 100th anniversary,
wow.
And we did that at the hospitality of the Clatsop County Historical Society by presenting a concert in the music room of the Flavel House.
Wonderful.
So that was just really special to do.
Sure.
And we played, members played the piano in the music room.
So is that the original piano?
Yes, yes. That was.
Does it tune up okay?
Yes.
It does
yes,
come up to
yes.
Nice. Okay.
And so the Friday Musical Club, and for that duration of time, primarily women in the community, ladies, met for an afternoon of sharing music with each other. So there was everything from pianist to vocalist, violinist, cello, the whole gamut, wind instruments,
wow.
And they played either in solo work or ensemble work together, practiced ahead of time in each other's homes, and
wow.
Then met mm-hmm. in each other's homes.
But it wasn't a concert. It was
like
a jam.
It was like a jam.
Yeah, there was
yes.
no audience. They were their
They
own.
Were there and enjoying each other's
right.
music, playing each other's music, and then at the close of the program would have tea and crumpets or tea and cookies and
mm-hmm.
enjoy each other's company for an afternoon. So we've been doing that and moving forward, meeting in each other's homes or meeting once a month October to May.
Okay.
And we meet and play for each other. We also meet in churches because as you grow and then that...
Homes don't always work.
Don't always work.
Does somebody choose kind of like a book club, send out a message, we're all going to practice a particular...
We choose a theme. So the theme this year is outside the box. Theme last year was mostly Baroque. Another one was musical directions, the second century, the previous year. Romance, the second century. So
how does outside the box, could that be just about anything?
That could be just about anything, yes. We finally decided that we would do something that would allow people to kind of think outside the box. And rather focusing on... A specific. Right.
Then, for example, if you have an idea of something you want to work with others on, do you send out a message to everyone and whoever wants to play will learn the piece?
We do. We do. And we come, kind of collaborate with each other on ensembles. Also have, since I have the... kind of the unusual instrument for ensemble
stand
work.
Stand-up bass.
Yes, right. I do, and this goes back to the early years, I do a report on something that follows the theme.
You mean a verbal report?
Verbal report. Okay. And then one of our other members, Karen Temple, does poetry, or right. she does translation of... music that's in German, to English for the members.
I do want to make a note before I forget that I heard you because you're the only stand-up bass, aren't you, with the North Coast Symphonic Band?
Yes.
And I heard you at that last concert. There was one particular piece that just had this almost eerie part, and I was trying to figure out what it is. This is... a band with all these horn instruments and Jennifer on clarinet. But I figured it out. It was the bass that was giving us that particular sound. It was quite wonderful. Is there room for a washboard?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, especially with this year's theme, outside the box.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Okay, now... this is all well and good, and we're delighted to learn. So I'm delighted to learn about this. Jennifer, what's going on now with the Friday Musical Club? And did you, when you first came to town, did you immediately find out about it?
I did. I was invited by, I don't remember who invited me, if it was Charlene invited me. And I've gone to some meetings, and actually Ann Lederer and I performed at the last meeting outside the box. We did a piece by Gerald Finzi, who was primarily a choral composer, who just happened to write these lovely pieces for clarinet and piano.
So, nice. Okay, yeah. So that's how it works. So you you like the piece, your clarinet, you find the piano player, and then the two of you can work on your own.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I say it's the best board meeting in town. It's like 15 minutes of talking, and then everybody just starts playing for each other.
That's pretty fantastic. How long are the meetings usually, the gatherings?
With refreshments from about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sounds great. Okay. I'm glad it's not on a Friday afternoon, though, because otherwise you couldn't come here and tell me about it. So now, what is the exciting happening with the Liberty and the Friday Musical Club?
We are extremely proud to be the new fiscal sponsor for the Friday Musical Club. And Charlene can go into it a little bit deeper, but they had lost their fiscal sponsorship. And so the Liberty was able to step in and become that. And that makes it so that the Friday Musical Club can continue to get donations for their scholarship program and have those donations be tax deductible for donors.
Right. So a lot of us who are working in one thing or another, for example, KMUN became the fiscal body for Fisher Poets Gathering when the college stepped down. So these groups that on their own Oh, come on. How many more do we need? This works much better. But for people who don't even know what we're talking about, why don't you tell us?
About 5 years ago, we had decided that we would increase our dues, our annual dues. Since 1907, we paid $5 a year in dues.
Okay.
And we decided, a couple of our members said...
And that $5 from 1907, that was a good hunk of money. In 2017, that's like
right.
2 cents.
So what we decided was, how are we going to encourage young people to continue with their music through their lifelong endeavors, which many of us have? And to support that idea of music lessons and providing scholarships for music lessons came out of that. And we raised our dues to $25 and were able to fund some students. And then we have a recital with those students in May. And that's our public concert that's open to the public. The students play. Sometimes some members of the Friday Musical Club also do a presentation. But we contacted music educators and music teachers in the area and said, we have students, and they have an application process, and they also have to have a recommendation from a teacher, and that they're serious about taking lessons and improving their skills. So that started, and then we had donations coming from our May concert, and then we needed a fiscal agent so that those donations could be tax deductible. We are an association and have never gone for a nonprofit status, you know. But and then we also found an opportunity with a very generous donation to do string workshops. So to improve the musicianship of our string players in the area, violinist Kevin LaFon comes once a month and does a string workshop with the string players, young and old, in the area.
Portland,
he's from
say?
The Portland area,
right.
And he's
right.
played with the Astoria Music Festival
in the
orchestra.
He's in a group, I reckon.
Bondi Trio.
Bodie.
Trio, yes.
That was my dog's name, I know.
Yeah.
Bodie.
Yeah.
But, Awakening.
But those things then allowed us to reach out for donations. So, and this kind of dovetails into, you know, the education piece that the Liberty Theater has.
Okay, and Jennifer, maybe you can tell us more, because you're doing quite a bit of outreach.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. I'm wondering, when Kevin, for example, comes to do the string workshop, who can take part in that? Obviously,
Any string player, student. Yeah.
Wow.
And primarily the focus is on violin and viola at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And it's also individual playing and also ensemble playing, together and listening to each other. And in fact, they just did a recital last Saturday in the Paulson Pavilion to kind of show where they had... where they've come from.
Right, right.
And this is the second year for that.
That's wonderful. It's wonderful because we do still have some good music programs, like at Astoria High School, Jewel, and to have it coming from outside as well to support those students. So did you start music in school, Jennifer?
Oh, yeah, I did. I started at 10. I wanted to play cello so bad, and I was handed my mom's old clarinet.
Oh.
I grew to love it, though.
That's quite a difference from cello to clarinet.
Yeah.
That was because your mom had one.
Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah, my mom and my grandmother both played
clarinet. See. So this was a genetic kind of legacy.
Yeah. My parents and my grandparents met respectively in marching band, in school marching bands. So,
oh my goodness. And I believe you met your husband through music too. Yeah. Not a marching band.
Not totally different, but also music.
Right, but music. Yeah. And how about you, Charlene? Did you start early with music?
I started in the sixth grade on clarinet.
Oh, there you go.
And that's hilarious.
Was in marching band. Yes. Yes. And then I played cymbals in a percussion ensemble.
That looks like fun.
Yes. And
deafening, but fun.
The band director at Seaside High School, Alan Deck, said, "I have a string bass in the closet. Would you please add to the lower sound of the
of
the concert band?" And the choral director, who's a violinist, will teach you how to play the string bass.
Wow. Was that particularly common for a girl to be asked to play the string bass?
No.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Good for him. Were you tall for your age?
No.
No. Oh, but he figured you could do it. That was the main thing. So.
Right.
And you were serious about your music. So.
Yes. And the idea that you could stand back where the fun percussion players were.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you could play not only in symphonic band, but in jazz band and dance band.
Everything.
Right. Yeah.
Even rock and roll.
There
yeah, that's true.
Put some earplugs in and you're just doing well. So the Liberty does do outreach with schools.
Yeah.
And I know you're doing more and more. It's always been, for example, bringing the kids in for certain, like Astoria School of Ballet.
Yeah.
But now you're also doing some workshops for them.
Yeah, our classical series, 7 of the 9 groups are doing a workshop with Astoria High School students. And it's just Astoria High School this year because it's the pilot program.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to keep it small and manageable. And then the hope is that we can spread it out to the rest of the county and area over the next few years. But and our first one is actually coming up on January 4 with Project Trio.
Right.
And
But
this opportunity with the Friday Musical Club, the Liberty's doing more and more school outreach. Friday Musical Club is an organization that I was really interested in, and I love the scholarship programs. I teach a clarinet student that is on scholarship. Charlene is actually a person that I really, really look up to in this community as well. And all of your work with, everything. She's kind of in everything.
That's why she's here.
Exactly.
Wearing different hats or sweatshirts or what.
Yeah.
Well, and I think in addition to the money, the finances, which the parents probably are more concerned with than the kids, I think it's such an honor to be given a scholarship, to be seen as someone worthy of a scholarship by adults who are. So it's terrific for the kids, for the families, and certainly for our community. So this is great. And if anyone who's listening wants to find out more, whether it's about the Friday Musical Club itself or about these scholarships for kids, what should they do?
They can contact the Friday Musical Club and through me.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that would probably work best. And just a email address, crl@pacifier.com. Our process for the scholarship starts in September with the application process, and then we review, then we match students with teachers.
Oh, great.
So we were able to award 10 scholarships this year. So we have a cellist, we have 4 flute players, we have 3 or 4 voice
students
and a saxophone student.
Yeah.
So we have coordinated with the Astoria Conservatory of Music for some of those teachers, and then individual teachers like our retired music instructors mm-hmm. at the different schools. John Hammond is teaching. Jennifer Crockett is teaching. Shelley Loring is teaching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Lisa Nelson and also Judy Woodward for the cellist.
So that's why I say this is fantastic for the community as well. In many ways, we're
exactly.
bringing up more musicians, and we're helping to support, in a small way, but still helping to support professional musicians.
Correct.
So, excellent.
And instructors.
And Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you so much. My guests, Jennifer Crockett and Charlene Larson from the Friday Musical Club and the Liberty Theater. And you can get more information, CRL at pacifier.com. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful. We'll look forward to the concert whenever it comes.
Yeah. Everything.
Not to mention everything else. Okay. I have a piece of music here from the Trail Band, who's going to be at the Coaster on the 27th of this month, which happens to be Wednesday.
You can take this song anywhere you want. I don't care. I swear we're losing ground.
It's rain 15 days and every night I pray, but water will carry me away. If it rains one more, I'm walking out this door. It won't matter what you do or say. The storms and slides, I never left your sight, but I won't stay here and drown. You can take this news any way you choose. I don't care, I swear we're losing ground. I don't care, I swear we're losing ground. Dying like all these tiny towns. Going nowhere fast, never stay on track. Go round and round and round. You can take this song any way you want. I don't care, I swear we're losing ground. I don't care, I swear we're losing ground.
And that is the Trail Band. They're going to be doing probably, quote, seasonal, unquote, music. I'm not quite sure what that means, but they can do just about anything. They're a fantastic group of people, and they are a large group of people as well. My next guest is another familiar to the community person, although he hasn't been on the air with me very much. Have you been on the air with me?
I have once, and it's been a while.
It's been here and there.
Liam sometimes, occasionally.
Right, that's a different program.
Different deal.
different deal. So, in case you didn't recognize that voice, that is Seth Titchener, and he is our local philosopherian. I think he made that word up. I'm not sure.
I did indeed.
I wondered. And it has an F instead of a PH even.
Yeah, all sorts of things.
Or however you want to say it.
That's right.
The bottom line is he is an extremely knowledgeable, and I got sucked in to a lot of new things because of Seth. I didn't know him, but he was teaching a class called Philosophy of Art.
Mm-hmm.
And someone told me about it, and they mentioned that it was going to be multicultural, which is my buzzword.
Sure.
So I went to the first class, and it was Aristotle and Plato, and I went, philosophy, Aristotle and Plato. You know how that kind of scares a lot of people? Well, let me tell you, I sat through, I think it was 8 weeks, and I loved it. And I've taken several other classes. For this particular one, although Seth is young, you have to be old to take that. But you teach at the college as well.
I teach at the college. I do talks in the community. Actually, I'm going to be doing a talk at Fort George next Thursday.
Yes.
And
I want you to tell us about that because what do you talk? I mean, what is philosophy? What do you talk about? It's an art. That's how come I mean,
I think it is. Yeah. Well, you know, one of my favorite definitions of philosophy, because I've been asked this, you know, years and years and years, and I've thought about it myself. I think it's actually a pretty good philosophical question. But I think at the heart of it, philosophy is simply thinking in slow motion. And what I mean by that is you take ideas that you ordinarily have at very great speed. So assumptions, beliefs, inferences, things like that. You slow them down. You look at their nature. You look at their texture. You analyze them. You weigh them. You measure them. You reflect on them. You savor them. You do all these different things. You see that they have all this depth. And then you consider their possibilities. And from that, you go to the moon. You see all of this stuff that's out there. It's fantastic. It's one of the most basic human things you can do. I'm actually going to be giving a TED Talk on this very point in a couple of weeks in Salem, if you all want to come on down.
Cool. Very cool. Well, we are extremely lucky because it's good to go to Salem. Mm-hmm. However, it's even better to stay in Astoria and get to hear you do it.
That's right, on the 28th of December.
Do you give a talk once a month?
Yeah, basically, okay. Gad and I put Philosopharian together, and it's usually me that gives talks, but we have people come in. Some of my friends, professor friends, come in sometimes, and sometimes we'll do dialogues. Gad usually does a talk or two over the season. Mm-hmm. So we do quite a few, yeah.
And so the one this coming Thursday, that's mm-hmm. the 28th.
Right.
Give us the name it means.
The topic is going to be, is there an absolute limit to human understanding? That is to say, is there a point at which or a level at which human beings, as human beings, simply cannot understand anymore? Because on one hand, it seems like, well, yeah, of course there's a limit. I mean, these things we have called brains or physical things, they have limits. You know, you can only go so far. There's clearly things you can't understand. And yet, the very fact that you seem to understand that and contemplate it suggests that you might be able to go further. So how does that play out? What would that limit be? How would we think about it? What would that mean for us? And where can we go from our considerations of that? These are all questions that we'll be looking at and more.
Would that... Everyone asked even the most basic of those questions, you know, even thought about the concept of knowledge and delving into it instead of just mouthing off.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, the thing is that, man, I'll tell you, Carol, I think there's this way that questions, they change everything when they're put together well. We've got this idea in our culture that you ask a question to get an answer. That's what you do. And it's certainly a reasonable thing to do. If I'm looking for my keys or wondering why that guy is following me or whatever else it is, you know, I want an answer. But there's a lot of reasons why you ask questions that have nothing to do with answers. You can ask a question to contemplate, to use it as a kind of lens, to get at ideas that you feel and believe. And when you can craft those things well, man, it's amazing. You get into all this different stuff inside of yourself. It's incredible.
So how does one learn? How did you learn to do that? Where did this discipline? It seems to me like there's a lot of discipline involved. And you're not, you know, what I would consider this guy who sits in the corner with the books and, you know, not at all.
No.
So where did you get, how did this all happen?
Well, I do enjoy books. There is that. But I would say a lot of things. You know, I think I have... I've been very, very fortunate to have some mentors who really taught me, and more than even taught me, showed me, demonstrated to me the power of conversation and questions. When you learn how to listen to what another person's saying, and I don't even just mean actively listening. I absolutely think that's you need to do that. But to be able to take it and sort of weigh it in your mind as you're listening to what they're saying and put together something. Well, you build something from that. And it's a beautiful thing because it's not just you building it. It's the two of you building it to places that you hadn't even anticipated. When you can do that, when you get practice, and it really is just practice, practice conversing, practice listening, practice crafting questions to contemplate with other people and hearing more of what the conversations of other people have been, you know, whether they've been, it's 2,400 years ago with someone like Aristotle or a conversation that was just on this show last week or whatever it happens to be. When you can bring all that stuff together, you generate things that sort of expand the possibility of what your mind and the minds and the community that you are a part of can encounter. And that, to me, that's freedom. That's why this stuff is worth doing. It's one of the most basic human things to do. I love it, and I think it is something that you practice and do again and again, and it just makes you more human.
Yeah. Yeah. See what I mean? That's why I sat through all those classes. I had to take notes, actually, which I may never read again, but because Seth speaks, it's dense, but it is all interesting, exciting, thought-provoking, and it's wonderful. And anybody, everybody is welcome to come on Thursday the 28th at the Fort George Lovell Room. Is that at 7 usually?
The talk starts at 7. Doors open at 6. We usually go for I'll talk for probably about 40, 45 minutes. Then we'll take about 20 minutes of questions, 30 minutes of questions, something like that. But then the other thing, and I should probably make this clear because we've been trying to do it more, is we've been trying to have after talks. So, you know, it is Fort George, and we can go and find a place to sit down and continue these talks. And it's great. I love meeting people that I have never met, and we can talk about these ideas till, you know, 10, 11 o'clock. Just go on to the stuff. It's great. I mean, this is living. Having beer, or if you don't want beer, you can have some of their kombucha. That's really good. I don't know, whatever you want. But you have that. We talk philosophy. It's really what culture is about. I think it's great.
Does that happen when you're teaching at the college, for example?
Yeah, I try to do that. I feel, as you can probably tell from what I've been saying, I feel very, very, very much that conversation is it's an extraordinarily important thing for human beings, and not just because we need to express ourselves. Certainly we do. Not just because we need to communicate. We certainly do. But because there is a way that when we engage in conversation, and I don't mean dialogue, I mean conversation, where we can actually listen to the ideas of the other person, learn how to weigh the ideas, learn how to craft questions about it, and then build things, we do. We come to be more and more, like I was saying. And so I don't really know how to teach in many ways without doing that. I feel like if I go in and give, you know, I could give the best lecture I've ever given in my life and people could go, wow, that was great, Seth. Really wonderful. I learned so much. Even if I did that, I would feel like that was only that was the first quarter. That was just the
incomplete.
Very beginning. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And quite incomplete because you have to you proceed through with time, you know.
Mm. Well, how long have you been in this community?
Well, it's kind of a complex question. You know, I've been most recently, Gad and I have been living here since 2013. But I lived up here for a good part of the aughts. And I spent a great deal of time up here in the 70s and 80s and 90s because my grandparents lived up here. So I've got a long history being up here.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That name Titchener was around somewhere.
Yeah. We've got pioneer ancestors
right
here. So.
Right. Well, I am, and I know many, many people who are thrilled that you're here and so generous with your time and energy. And if someone has, I don't even know what this means, but has an area of interest perhaps that they wanted your opinion on, would that be, could they just come and talk to you about it or?
That, oh my goodness, absolutely. No, this is why Gad and I chose to be here. This is why we're doing Philosophari and why we're trying to have these conversations, is that this stuff is not something that belongs just locked up in some ivory tower somewhere and in these esoteric books and things like that. I'm glad those are there. I think they actually do quite a bit of good. But there is a way that this is, like I was saying, a basic human thing. If you want to come talk to me, come talk to me. And I really mean that. People who know me know that.
Yeah.
But come.
Very accessible.
Yeah. Just find me on Facebook. Come up to the college. We'll get a cup of coffee. Maybe we'll have a beer. I don't know. And we will talk philosophy. And I am down for that.
That's great.
Yeah.
So start out with next Thursday, the 28th of December.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us the name of the topic again.
Is there a limit to human understanding, an absolute limit to human understanding?
Okay. Yeah. And each one of those words has a meaning.
Yes, so, that's right.
I've learned just from, you know, being around Seth, and I'm looking forward. If you're old like me, you should check out the Encore program.
I'm going to be teaching an Encore class this
So evening. I
yeah.
hear.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited about that. And that's, as I say, why Seth changed my life, because I had heard about Encore, but I hadn't bothered. My life is so busy. I took that class. I immediately signed up for the program so I could take that class and more classes with others as well, but especially.
Well, I'm glad you did. No, it's great. It's going to be on medieval Chinese philosophy. So it'll
great.
Be a good one.
Good. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for giving all of these talks, and yourself, Seth Tichenor, that's T-I-C-H-E-N-O-R. Check him out.
All right.
Thanks, Seth.
Thanks.
I have a piece of music here from a relatively new group. It's called Giants in the Trees. You'll hear more about it in a little bit. Thanks for being here. KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook.
Seems like we've been searching for a thousand years for the loving dreams that we used to know. The faded memories that awake the spark of light to restore them to their throne. There's gotta be something, 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 something for everyone. There's gotta be something, 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 something for us all. Something for
Okay, that's just a slight taste of what you can get next week. And my guest is actually our esteemed operations manager here at Coast Community Radio. Hi, Brian.
Hey, esteemed. That's awful nice of you.
Not only is he esteemed and steamy, he does a steamy, that's what I meant to say, Thursday folk show, TMF. Wait, let me say it the way, TMF, Thursday morning folk. And it's a great show. But he has also a new band called...
My name, Brian Bovenizer in the New Old Stock.
New Old Stock. Does that have any particular meaning or just...
It does, yeah. Okay. Yeah, in you know, audio gear as well as for cars, you know, you have specific parts for these amplifiers or, you know, old cars that that are new. They've never been used, but you know, they're old stock, so they're, you know, it's not a new product, but you need it for that specific thing that you need. You know, for that amplifier, it's a new old stock tube for a 60s amp is a prized tube.
We are getting such an education here today. First we got philosophy, now we got cars and amplifiers. This is amazing, folks, from A to Z, or Z to A, or something like that. So Brian Bovenizer and his band are going, am I right? You're going to be opening for Giants in the Trees?
That is correct. Yeah, okay. We're going to open up for them.
That's
on the
Saturday,
30th.
Saturday the 30th at the Liberty Theater.
Uh-huh.
On the big stage.
The big stage. It's the biggest stage that we've played on.
I guess, right?
Yeah, we've played on a couple stages, but not many.
How long has your band been together? Because you've played with other bands as well.
Mm-hmm. This incarnation, we've been playing together for about 2 years. We went by the Koala Cowboys for a little while.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
And then we got a little more serious. And then we've just kind of been working on it for a while. We've got a lot of material, but just slowly getting around to getting it out there. And I think we'll have our first recorded works out here in the spring.
So who else is in your band?
It is Olaf Yitzdi on the drums, nice. Luke Yitzdi on the electric and upright bass, Jamie Greenan on pedal steel guitar, and sometimes some dobro, and then Jeff Munger on the electric guitar.
Okay, so the Yitzdis we know. Are the other two living in Astoria now, or did they come up from...
Jeff lives in Astoria. I got word that he was moving from Portland to Astoria from a mutual music friend, and I immediately said, I need him for this project. And then I heard that Jamie didn't have a project, too. He was in that band, the Cedar Shakes, with Travis.
And he left that project
and he was just the guy, and I got really lucky.
See, here we are. We were talking earlier about the Friday Musical Club and how everybody switches and round and different and now we're doing the same thing with these bands. It's fabulous. So, and then Giants in the Trees is, they've not been around a year even, have they, together?
I think maybe a year. That's as long as I've known it. But
so who's in that is Eric Friend, Jillian Ray, Ray Prestigard, who used to be a KMUN programmer, and Chris Novoselic, who also is still sometimes a KMUN programmer. And is Chris playing the bass in that band?
Bass, and he also plays accordion.
Accordion.
Yeah.
Okay, folks, the Croatian accordion. I can hear it now. Wonderful. So how does this work? You're going to open. You get a half an hour or...
I think we're doing 40 minutes.
Okay.
So
and you've got your set. You're ready?
I think so. Yeah, we're going to get a little bit of practice in before the holiday. And yeah, we're ready. It's nice. We've been playing a lot of bar rooms. And with those rooms, I tend to cut the slower songs or the sadder songs because you want to keep people dancing.
Keep
once they start dancing, you don't want to play a bummer song.
But the first time I met you, actually, you were playing drums.
I was originally a drummer. That was my first instrument.
Because
that I started on.
I found your, I don't know whether it's a cymbal part or something, and they said, "Oh, that's Brian's. He's over at Fort George." So I carried it down there. You remember? I didn't know who you were.
Where was it? Where'd you find it?
Wherever you were playing with the friends.
Uh-huh.
It was a gig, and that had gotten left behind. And now here you are,
totally
in my life. So. You got a guitar here. Is that what you're playing now with your...
I am, yeah. I originally, when I moved to Astoria, I was trying to work on my songwriting career, and then the drum gigs just started popping up, and and I love playing the drums, but then I got a little distracted. So, yeah, I'm mostly just playing guitar and singing these days. Well, then I got picked up for a drum gig as well. Jeff's band, The Stinking Badges, Jeff Munger, who plays guitar with me, he started a new band, so I'm playing drums in that band. But we just learned the other day that there's another band called The Stinking Badges.
Huh?
And
Badges?
Stinking Badges, yeah. We don't need no stinking badges.
I see.
Apparently we don't need no Stinking Badger's band name because we have to come up with a new one. So if there's any listeners out there that
have some
good band names, send them my way.
Do you mostly play original stuff with your band? Or?
I'd say about 85% original, but then we do some covers as well. The first song that we'll release is a Michael Hurley cover, though he's not released it.
Nice.
Yeah, I found him and I said, Michael, where did that song come from? And he said, that's mine. I've just never put it out there. So
wow, that's very exciting. Yeah. Okay, well, what do you got to play for us here?
I'm going to play a song that I wrote called, what is this one called? Mobile Homes is what I'm going to play.
Mobile Homes.
It's called Mobile Homes. Yeah, it's about living in mobile homes, I guess.
Okay, which you don't and I don't, but we'll go.
The message in the end is we all live in mobile homes.
I see. That's.
Well, the weekend starts on Wednesday now, and the chowder flows like wine. But we're not on the ocean, man. Lift this band, says that one more time. I might get emotional. I've already lost half my mind. Worrying about the push and pull. Where I'm spending all my time. Here we go. Have we lost our coast? Just a wandering round, wondering what we know. And nobody knows if it's where you're from or where you go. And nobody knows. We all live in mobile homes, oh no. And I don't listen to the radio, but I got Bluetooth in my car. And my neighbors don't say hi-de-ho, 'cause they never really go that far. And I might have joined the rodeo. I could have been a burned out star. If it hadn't been for ocean shores, to let you know where you are. Have we lost our coast? Just a wandering round, wondering what we know. Nobody knows if it's where you're from or where you go. And nobody knows. We all live in mobile homes, oh no. But I know where I'm from. And I know where I am.
So get a truck or a Chevy van and make a stand. Have we lost our clothes? Just a wandering round, wondering what we know, and nobody knows. If it's where you're from or where you go, and nobody knows. We all live in mobile homes, oh no. We all live in mobile homes, oh no.
Yeah, you're giving me a whole new perspective on life here. Go home to my mobile home. It's inside me, actually, I guess. So, wow. Very cool. So, when did you write that?
That one I wrote partially on the Young's Bay Bridge while there was an accident and I was stuck. Well, there wasn't an accident. I thought there was an accident, but it was just the traffic was that bad. And I just started to get frustrated with all the, and there were just mobile home Perfect. After mobile home. Right. And then I finished it in California. I forget what town it was, but we were camping on the beach in Pismo Beach, and there's this big mobile home park next to it, and that was where I finally finished it. It was a piece.
This is great because I'm going to announce that the Sou'wester is full of music happening, and of course they are the Sou'wester Lodge and Trailer Park, but their mobile homes are a little bit different.
They do have one that my buddy Sam put a recording studio into.
Whoa!
And we thought about going and trying to record that song in that space. But
That would be fun.
It would, yeah.
But you'll play it there sometime. Brian Bovenizer is my guest, and also the operations. He does a lot of operating around here. Don't come with your scalpel, though. Doesn't do that kind. Well, sort of. And a great folk programmer on Thursdays, and mainly he's here this time because he and his band are going to be playing. They're going to be opening for the Giants in the Trees on Saturday the 30th at the Liberty Theater. That's a week from tomorrow night. And you can go to libertyastoria.org and get all the information. And this is great. And then you're going to be playing on and on. But we're out of time. You're going to have to come back and talk about that.
Yeah, we'll come back and talk about the next gigs.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you for having me, Carol.
You bet. And I have a little maritime music in the background. This is a maritime Christmas celebration in Acadie. That would be...
A mes Noël en Acadie.
Right.
Quand je pense à mes Noël, je suis plein de nostalgie.
That's Nouvelle-Écosse, Nova Scotia, Acadie. This is the last weekend for the Coaster Theater and the Astor Street Opry Company, A Christmas Carol and Scrooged in Astoria. And there is music at the Adrift every night. Go to their website. Happening at Sou'wester, Manzanita Lighthouse Pub has music tonight. And Charlie's Chop House has John Orr Trio. And I do want to let you know that next Thursday, before this show, Bridgewater Bistro is hosting Basin Street Northwest every Thursday night, 6 to 8:30. And don't forget Seth's Philosophy Talk at the Lovell Room. Cannon Beach International Food, starting on Tuesday, all the rest of the week. I'm going. And don't forget Dare to Dance. It's a benefit for the harbor at the Astoria Arts and Movement Center, 8:30 a.m. on Sunday. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Safe holidays, and think about all those others. And don't forget about the Astoria Warming Center. AstoriaWarmingCenter at gmail.com. Check them out.
Winners and losers of the year. We'll look back at our show from the day of Trump's inauguration and see whether our predictions came true, and we'll look into our crystal ball and predict 2018. That's all coming up on Left, Right, and Center. We'll be right back.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Trump has signed the $1.5 trillion tax cut package that cleared Congress this week along party lines. NPR's Scott Horsley tells us Trump signed the measure just before leaving the White House to spend Christmas in Florida.
Trump says he initially planned to hold a formal bill signing ceremony early in the new year, but changed his mind after seeing television reports asking if the bill would be signed by Christmas. Polls show most Americans are not happy with the bill, which permanently cuts corporate taxes and temporarily reduces individual tax rates. Trump thinks public support will quickly turn around.
Come February, when they open their checks and they see, wow, what happened? I have a lot more money in here. I think that's really going to be something very special.
Although Republicans have marketed the bill as a middle-class tax cut, nearly two-thirds of the savings next year go to the top 20% of earners. Scott Horsley, NPR News, the White House.
The expansion of a child tax credit in the new tax overhaul bill helped to seal the deal, though it remains unclear just how much poor families will actually benefit from that. Pushed by Florida Republican Marco Rubio, it doubles the current per-child tax credit to $2,000 and makes more of that credit refundable. However, some tax experts say the expanded credit may do little to help the poorest families, since the refundable portion doesn't kick in until the family has an income of at least $2,500. One analyst expects that about 10 million children among the lowest income working families will only see a token increase in terms of a tax credit or none at all. The UN Security Council voted unanimously to ratchet up the pressure on North Korea. The U.S.
floor